Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right, that's how we move and transition to our next conversation. We do have on the line our next guest. Brandi Lee Paul is our guest for the week. She's still educating us and helping us understand a very, very interesting subject we're having today, the power of positive relationships. My goodness, the power of positive relationships. Yeah! Your social circle might be shaping your health more than you think. In fact, quite frankly, it's shaping you more than your diet. Relationships have the power to heal or harm, from loneliness to love to today, beloved, we're exploring how community, done right, can be your most underrated wellness tool. That's why we do have Brandi Lee Paul on the line. Brandi, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well. Caught a bit of a flu, but I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm not complaining. Are you well?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Lovely. Let's jump right in, shall we? How do healthy relationships impact physical and emotional well-being? And perhaps, if you don't mind, just define for us what a healthy relationship is, because we run the risk of thinking that healthy relationships have no conflict. What's a healthy relationship? And after that, you can tell us how those healthy relationships impact physical and emotional well-being.
All right, so your healthy relationships have healthy boundaries, and also most people think that you shouldn't have arguments or anything, but the way you actually handle situations is very important. So how you work things out, how you speak to the other person, always thinking that that person is on your side, you're not enemies, so you stand together facing the problem. You don't face each other fighting each other. So,
right. Yes,
healthy relationships is healthy boundaries, is knowing how to work problems out, is healthy diets and healthy lifestyle.
Right.
And obviously your commitment to God, because the closer you come to God, the closer you come to each other. So, very important to have that as the center. Yes.
So if I don't have a good relationship with my siblings, with my parents, with my children, with my spouse, how will that impact my physical and emotional well-being?
All right. So when you have unhealthy boundaries and unhealthy, you're going to feel tense. Your jaw is going to lock. You're going to grind your teeth. You're not going to have good sleep. You're going to feel stressed and you know, basically complaining the whole time.
Right.
Because, and it's normally your fault. It's your fault because you haven't set those healthy boundaries.
Right, right.
The boundaries is very, very important for it. So when you look at a relationship and it's going downhill, look at what you are doing. Are you allowing bad behavior? Are you letting people overstep your boundaries? Why is it going downhill?
Right.
Look at yourself. Don't look at the other person.
Yeah. Okay, I hear you. And then there's this very popular phrase, toxic. Everyone is talking about someone is toxic, or this relationship is toxic, or this is masculinity is toxic. Just define what toxicity is, and then you can explain to us what are signs of toxic connections that may harm your health?
All right. So toxic can be obviously a psychotic problem like narcissism and things like that. But otherwise, it is a where you're both trying to get out of the relationship as much as you can. Each one has got their own idea what is in a relationship. So a toxic relationship would go back down to how are you treating each other? How is that person treating you? What can you do to change that whole situation? And it always, once again, comes to you, not to the other person. What decisions have you made? What are you allowing in your life, or what are you not? So toxic relationships is all about themselves, selfishness, and it's not about the other person. It's about what I can gain from a relationship and not what I can give.
So what are the signs of these toxic connections that may harm your health?
The signs, we'll just have a look at how you are feeling. Are you feeling drained by the end of the day? Are you having to walk on eggshells? Are you always having to make excuses for just normal conduct? Is your family and friends are you being isolated from them? You know, those are good warning signs to say, hey, listen, this guy or girl is not right. So it's very important to have a look at these signs and see these red lights before you make a big step into a marriage, which is a very big step. So just really, you know, often when we cross the physical boundaries into a sexual, physical relationship before marriage, you fail to see these toxic behaviors, these red lights. And that will cause a problem later, because later on they come out very clearly. So you need to really have a look at before you even get there. Don't cross the physical boundary, because it will override every red light.
So how does forgiveness promote mental freedom and also healing?
Yeah, forgiveness is awesome, because it doesn't only set you free. It sets you free from that person, in the sense of, you know, when you are unforgiving, this heavy weight is weighing down on you and you feel disgruntled. You don't feel well because of this heavy weight. So very important to have a forgiving spirit. The Bible says forgive 77 times 7 per day, but I want to add that if that does not mean that you have to stay in a toxic environment if it's not working out. You can obviously opt out of a toxic relationship when it's not working in that sense.
Okay. And let's talk about community, because my mind just ran, and I would love to ask you more questions about just what you just said right now, but I'm afraid we're going to digress if I ask that question. So let's move on to community. In what ways can strong community ties increase our longevity?
All right. So they say you don't marry the person, you marry your family, isn't it? The person's family.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that you need to have a look at before you get married. Now, when I'm saying opt out, I'm not saying opt out of a marriage. I'm saying opt out of a relationship
right before
marriage.
Okay.
So your community, who you marry, you've got to be on good terms with the family. Look at the family. How does he treat or she treat the mother, the father, the sibling? How do you get on with it? You know, because you are into the community. The community supports the marriage and builds up. You must have a good support base around you. So very important to have a look at those things as well before you make a step into a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, how can we build authentic, uplifting relationships in this digital age?
Yeah, so how do we build up relationships? Is that what you're asking?
Authentic ones. You see, today we see people feeling great about themselves because they have 1,000 likes on a photograph, and they think because they have 1,000 likes, everybody, 1,000 people like them, and they believe they can build relationships with people who always like their posts on social media, which speaks to an inauthentic way of measuring relationships. And so what we're trying to establish is an authentic one. How can we build authentic and uplifting relationships in spite of the fact that this digital age has swayed authenticity towards just liking photos and posts and quotes, and thinking because people like our photos and posts and quotes, therefore they like us? That doesn't make much for an authentic relationship. So teach us how. How can we build authentic ones, authentic relationships?
Now, social media is a very unfortunate thing that's happened in this generation. And because it takes a lot of our electronic time, it's not a personal time. So much better is that personal contact, that personal activities together, doing things for each other and building up your relationship that way, instead of liking on a Facebook, rather like your partner.
Yeah.
And do fun things and activity things together, plan your day together. How can I boost this, my partner, in his or her love language? What is his love language? Are you speaking their love language? Because love languages are very important. You've got acts of service, you've got time, you've got gifts, you've got touch. So you've got your five love languages that each person has their own love language. For example, my love language is touch and time, as well as acts of service. So if my partner, husband, is not touching or spending time with me, I don't feel loved. My love tank is emptied. It doesn't matter how many gifts he can shower me with, it's not going to work, because that is not my love language. So it's good to go and find out, what is your major love language? Where can you uphold, uplift, and fill your love, your partner's love tank? Because once that tank is full, oh boy, you're in for a good ride.
I like that. I like that. Okay, I'm going to leave it right there, Brenda Lee Paul. Thank you very much once again for your time and your insights. Great conversation. We're learning a lot from you. Looking forward to many more conversations with you. Thank you ever so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
Thank you very much, Brenda Lee Paul, our guest for this week, talking to us about the power of positive relationships.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.